There are so many ways from which to approach this evening's readings because they are literally bursting, they are brimming, they are overflowing with life-giving truth. And as I reflected and thought about what might be best to speak to such an illustrious crowd as yourself, some 2,000 years later, there was one word that kept popping up in my mind, and it was the word unhindered. Unhindered. That tremendous inner freedom that we pursue when we pursue God with all of our hearts, even when people try to prevent us from doing so. And that's sort of the backdrop to what we see in the gospel reading this evening. Jesus comes from Galilee to the Jordan where John is baptizing, and he says, John, will you baptize me? But the scriptures say that John tries to prevent him or to hinder him from going through with it. And so John retorts this word. He says, Lord, I need to be baptized by you, not the other way around. Well, John had the sincerest of intentions when he said that. And I suppose that if you follow his logic up to this point, his reluctance to baptize Jesus would make perfect sense. John's baptism, you must realize, it was sort of an outward symbol of being washed or purified or cleansed of your sin in order to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. It was to make way. It's sort of like what we do in Advent. It's preparing the way to receive the Lord. And that's exactly what he was doing here. And now Jesus, his presence was there. It wasn't imminent. It was there. It was totally real. And the other thing that goes along with it is this, and John says it as well, that Jesus knew no sin. He was without sin. So what was there for him to be cleansed from if he had no sin? Well, once again, I would say that John was very sincere in his effort to prevent Jesus from being baptized, but John didn't have the full picture. See, now that the Messiah is on the scene, now that the Messiah is here, the understanding of John's baptism has to expand. We have to see the more fuller revelation of what God had in mind when he spoke about John's baptism. It's sort of like what God said through the prophet Isaiah. He said, behold, I am doing something new. Can't you see it? Do you see it? So Jesus says to him in reply, he says, John, allow it now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness. Now, you may not know what that means. Well, that's a term that was used back in the day when this was written. But it is an expression which means to do the will of God in your life, to fulfill the will of God in your life. So, in other words, Jesus is saying this. He says, now that I am here, there's more to baptism, John, that you need to learn about. There's more to it than what you were doing up to this point. And then he proceeds to teach through example and experience of what he meant by that. Here's a couple of examples. See, Jesus, by his baptism, was identifying with those whom he came to save. It is by his baptism that Jesus was anointed as the Messiah King while the Holy Spirit descended from heaven and hovered right above him. And also, it is Jesus' baptism that it is through that we find the Father confirming the ministry or the mission that Jesus had, which, as we heard in the first reading this evening, it was to be the suffering servant. So God says, this is my Son who I am well pleased in. So many things are going on that John didn't realize, but John still didn't have the full picture, I don't believe, but when Jesus said, don't prevent me from being baptized, he said, John, don't protest this, but allow it to happen. John did that. See, Jesus needed to be unhindered in his doing the will of the Father for his life. And then it says, of all things, it says, then John allowed him to be baptized. Isn't that interesting? Could you imagine allowing Jesus to be baptized? But he sort of got it. He sort of understood what was going on, and there was something new because Jesus was new. Unhindered. Do you ever feel unhindered in or hindered in your pursuit of God? Do you ever feel that way? Well, when I look at my own personal experience, I guess that there are times where we all experience those situations or forces which try to prevent us, which try to deter, which try to stop, to hinder us, you might call, from doing the will of God for our lives. Let's look, since we're looking at Jesus' life, let's look at a couple more examples in that. Prime example is next week. Next week is when the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted and to veer from the mission that the Father had for him. And so he is tempted by power. He's tempted by the accumulation of possessions, and he is tempted by self-indulgence to veer or to detour from the mission which God had for him. And you got to remember this. You know, Jesus was, he was God in the flesh. He had a whole lot of power, but in thinking of the willpower that he had. But you have to realize Jesus' mission is not the mission that most of us have in life. And his was one of passion and death on a cross for sins which he had not committed. So when people are coming up to you and offering you all of these possessions, offering you all of this power, and then you look at what God wants you to do, well, you can see what that might be a temptation and a challenge in his life. And then there was another occasion which really goes along with that. Actually, this one happened several times. Jesus would be out teaching. He would be performing miracles, feeding the people. And it says that the people would try to force him to become their king. And here's another one. I think this is a prime example. When Jesus, for the first time, he announced to the disciples the suffering of the passion and the death on the cross that he was about to endure, what did Peter say? He said, "No way. Lord, no way. This is going to happen to you." And Jesus looks at him and he says to him, "You don't understand what you're saying right now. You need to get behind me because you're making this really difficult for me. Really difficult for me." All of these hindrances in life which try to hold us back, stop us, prevent us from going forward in our walk with God, in our pursuit of God. So let me offer you a few quick suggestions out of the life of Jesus. All of these are examples, practical suggestions that Jesus offers us through his life. The first thing is this: make the pursuit of God your number one priority. Number one, pursuing God. I truly like how the psalmist records this, and maybe it's because I grew up in the mountains and I saw a lot of deer up in the mountains, but it says this: "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God." You feel a sense of urgency there? Do you feel a sense of longing there? Have you ever been out on a hot day and your mouth is just totally dried up, you're hot, and you think about, boy, wouldn't it be great to have an ice-cold glass of water to quench my thirst? And when you do, you long for that, you find it, and boy, it really satisfies, doesn't it? It truly does. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying here. Your pursuit of God is like you're thirsting for him, you're longing for him, you're looking for him. Because there's no greater meaning or purpose in life than to pursue God. People today, and somebody was even telling me this morning, we were talking about fit. You know, this is the right fit for me. Have you ever heard that or used that expression? Well, there's no greater fit for us as people than, and there's no greater fit for finding meaning and purpose in life other than pursuing the love of God, as Jesus said, which is the first commandment, which is the greatest commandment, which is to love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Pursue God. The second thing is live according to God's word. This is crucial. It's extremely crucial because the scriptures teach us how to live an unhindered pursuit of God. That's why we listen to the Word of God at Mass. That's why we read so many scriptures at Mass. That's why we have a time of reflection upon those scriptures, because the scriptures are extremely, extremely important if we want to live. It is, as I was reading a book last night, it is the Word of God. That's what it is, and it's alive and it's breathing. So you have to know the Word. In order to live the Word, you can't just do it by osmosis. You have to know it, you have to study it and read it and reflect upon it in order to live it. So here's a good question for you, I think, a very good question. How much time do you spend reading and reflecting upon the Word of God each week? It's good something to think about. The third thing is to discern the will of God for your life. I am pleased to tell you that you are on this planet for a reason. You're not a happen chance. You're not anything like that. You're here for a reason, and that reason is custom designed for you. Just like snowflakes or leaves, there's no two alike. See, God has designed, He has created you for a purpose and a mission, just like He did Jesus. And the question becomes, do you know what that mission is in your life? Why? You ever asked yourself, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? You know, people that really ask that question are the people who die, are on death's bed, and they are brought back to life. I've had several of them. I've talked to them. You want to wake up to, like, why has God left me here? Why is my mission? That'll really wake you up. Because you're right there at death's door, and you're pulled back into the world. But it's a question that we all need to ask, because the joy of life, see, life is a journey, it's a process, and the joy of life comes from discerning and pursuing what is God's will for your life. And that's so clear in Jesus' life. And in all of the temptations, the allures that he had, as we heard in the readings this evening and all the other examples, the one thing that helped Jesus to remain unhindered in his pursuit of God was that he kept his focus on what was his mission, his calling, his purpose in life. And that's really important, especially when it includes a lot of suffering, as he was called the suffering servant. You know, which would you rather do? Hang on a cross or be crowned king? Which one would you prefer? Do you see how that can be a great temptation in your life? But we all experience those things. Jesus kept his focus and bearing because he knew what God wanted for his life. The fourth thing in an unhindered pursuit of God is to avoid all hindrances to the best of your ability. Once again, Jesus really rings in on this one. Don't hang around when you're tempted by something. When you're, you know, some people today, they say, well, I'm strong, I can fight this off, I can reason this away, all of those kinds of things. But why, tell me this, why is it that when the crowds tried to make Jesus king, it said that he hightailed it out of there? I wonder why he did that. Well, there's a reason for it. It was a temptation to him. You have to realize that. And he didn't want to be exposed to that. He wanted to pursue God. And that's what we need to do as well. There are those, what we call those near occasions, where we brush up against the temptation. Well, don't just stand there, sit there, take off, leave it alone, because it will hinder your pursuit of God. The final thing is that God is never done with us. Now, there's going to be times in your life, or at least in my life, where I've gone off in a detour. You know, God says go this way, and I say, I want to go this way. You ever done that? And when you do, and you look at it in retrospect, you realize, I made a mistake. I really made a mistake. I needed to get back to God. And some people will even take it even further and say, well, God's done with me. You know, I've made this mistake. He's done with me. God told me to go here, and I'm over here, and God's sitting over here waiting on me to come over here. Well, God doesn't work that way. Thank God that he doesn't. He's never done with us. And because all of us are going to blow it at times in our life. That's just the reality of being a human being. But God doesn't abandon us. That's the great news of the good news of the gospel. But what he does is he corrects our course and makes corrections so that we can get back on the path of following him again. He loves us with an everlasting love. So I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this evening. Maybe you're here this evening. You're feeling limited in being all that you can be because of a mistake or a past decision that you have made. Always remember this. Jesus never sets those limits on us, and neither should we. I believe it with all my heart, that a bright today and a promising tomorrow always await us when we pursue God. So be unhindered. And the second thing is this. Right now, you may be tempted. There may be something going on in your life that's a tempting situation, which is there and you're near it, and it's really causing you to think, I want to be sidetracked in my pursuit of God. Let me say one thing. Stop. Stop right there where you are and do a 180 back to God. There is nothing in this world that's more important or more satisfying than the pursuit of God. So stop and turn. That's so wonderful. God bless all of you.